You are listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. This week, we're going to do a little trash talking. Well, in a sense. I'm interviewing Brent Crampton. He's the director of partnerships at Hillside Solutions / Soil Dynamics in Omaha, Nebraska. I thought it'd be great to bring him on to have him discuss a little bit about what his company does, because it's pretty unique, honestly, for the Omaha area. And let's get into that interview now.
Yeah, my name is Brent Crampton. I am the Director of Partnerships with Hillside Solutions. We're a waste hauling company based in Omaha, Nebraska, in the surrounding area. We have affiliate organizations, Gretna Sanitation, which is primarily focused on residential waste hauling on the outskirts of Omaha, where the city of Omaha doesn't provide services. And then we have Soil Dynamics, which is a compost mulch processing organization based in the Omaha area as well. And so you can think of Hillside as like a trash hauler. We're set up to be hired by businesses and organizations and nonprofits that need to hire someone to handle their solid waste. And so we can pick up trash and take it to a landfill. We're known for having a really incredible modern recycling program in alignment with our top recycling processor, FirstStar, their dual stream system that they put out post the 2018 China ban. And you know, through our partnership with Soil Dynamics, we have the Omaha area's only industrial composting facility. So we haul it, process it, and then find industrial and home garden uses for the products that we make.
Tell us a little bit more about your composting. So you have a compost club. So how do people get involved with that, and how do people buy from you?
Yeah, so you know, even though my main focus is finding businesses and organizations that need help with their solid waste, so I'll start off with this analogy. You know, if you ask yourself like what a post-climate crisis era looks like, one of the things that we'll see is the same way that every community has access to a landfill now, in the future, every community will have access to an industrial composting facility. It just so happens Omaha, Nebraska already has one, but now we just need to build bridges for people and organizations to be able to, you know, access that. We've done a pretty good job in the business community of doing that, and that's my primary focus. But we, you know, when after a while, you know, I've been with the company for 6.5 years, you know, we weren't really doing much for residential, like in the city proper of Omaha. And we weren't ready to go curbside, which is like what you say for, you know, when people put their bin out on the curb and you come and pick that up. So we pivoted to a drop-off program and we called it Compost Club. And this, we launched it in 2018. And so people subscribe, they pay a monthly fee to Compost Club, and then they gain access to like a paywall map that has all the different drop-off sites of where they can bring their compostables to. At this point, we have 60 different drop-off sites around the Omaha metro area. And then people bring their compostables to us. That includes things you can't compost at home, like meat, dairy, bones, but also certified BPI compostable serveware. So like a cup that looks like it's plastic, but it's actually made out of corn, you know, that's certified compostable. We can take that and break that down properly in our process. And then for being members, people also get credits that they can use to get free product back, as well as they get a discount for year-round with any of our products. And we also noticed that some of our members weren't using their credits to get free products. So we said, why don't every spring we do a drive where members and people who want to jump in and become members can donate their credit to a local nonprofit garden that's growing, organic food, needs compost to do that. And so people donate the compost. And these are our, and so we, the way we have it is we're basically trying to build the circular or strengthen the circular food system in our community. So these, let's take an example, like City Sprouts is a nonprofit garden organization, and they have opted to be a drop-off site for compost clubbers. So people in the area can, drop off their compost there. And then, compost clubbers can donate their credits to City Sprouts once a year. They get some of that compost. We bring it to City Sprouts. They grow next year's crops in that. Any garden waste that they have, from that goes back to us, the process again. And then they get some soil from us next year. And so it's a sort of like circular thing that goes on and on and on. That's been a fun thing we've gotten to do for like 3-4 years now.
No, that's great. And I have talked to Brock Johnson. He runs the NRCS program for urban farming or small scale farming. And this is just great information for people who want to get involved with you to do this, because how awesome is that to be able to build credits like that and to be able to have a place for stuff to go,
Another fun example I like to use is Block 16. If any of you have been to Omaha, like you look at top places to eat, I don't care what list you're looking at. I mean, on the top 10 always, usually within the top 5 is Block 16. And it's this really great small little restaurant in downtown Omaha. Part of why the food tastes so great is because a lot of the ingredients they're using, or as much as they can, they actually grow themselves. They have their own farm. So they have their own farm. They have like an in-ground greenhouse that's, can grow year-round because it's in-ground. They compost their food waste with us, but they also buy some of our compost to grow their food that they serve in their restaurant. So it's just a beautiful, circular food system right there. And there's other examples of similar to that of, going on in Omaha from, whether they're buying from getting their tomatoes from a farmer that's using our compost, and things like that. It's been really fun to see that grow. Reuse is really, as much as, our lane is recycling and composting, like the true solutions are going to be in reuse.
Yep.
And they're coming down the line here. Paris Olympics was a great example. I read that, for the stadium events, they had a goal, I think over 50%. I can't remember the exact stat, but they wanted their cups to be served in reusable cups. So when you go to throw stuff away, there's going to be like a trash, a recycle, a compost, but then a reuse bin too. So you can put like your aluminum cup, for example, there, they'll sanitize them and put that back into circulation. So we're going to be seeing a lot more of that sort of thing coming down the line.
Yeah. And outside of businesses, you also partner with schools as well, which I thought was really awesome.
Yeah. The schools has been really fun and rewarding because we're planting seeds early, but essentially, sort of universally recognized that our public schools waste a lot of food. And part of it's because, they have these mandates to serve certain portions, and they do that for good reason, to try to give maybe disadvantaged children access to food. But, a lot of times it's not all eaten. And so it's being thrown away. We've worked with close to 25 different schools over the last 6.5 years that, wanted that food waste to be composted. So we'll come in and, we have training and we set up a system where when students go to, when they're done, they separate all their single-use items or plastics and things like that go in the trash, but then the food and napkin go in a compost bin, and then they stack their trays. We take that. And even the tray stacking has been a huge benefit too, because a lot of these schools are using single-use trays. Mm-hmm. The trend has been to get away from dishwashers, which I hope changes, but for now, this is what they're doing. And before, when they were throwing away all their stuff, imagine they're just dropping everything into one can all at once. So you get a lot of irregular stacking, and it fills up trash bags rather fast. And so a lot of schools, most of what is in their landfill trash bin is just stuff from lunch, just bags on bags on bags. And when you separate the food waste out and you're stacking trays, this wonderful compaction thing occurs. And all of a sudden they go from like 4 dumpster pickups a week down to maybe 2. Just from the compaction and the separation and stuff like that. And so that's been another wonderful outcome of that. And then just anecdotally, those kids, they get, you know, they get exposed to the idea that different materials are different, you know, mean different things and go in different places and can become different things. And they bring that knowledge home. And we've had a lot of parents tell us, you know, all of a sudden they're like, why aren't we recycling? And, you know, we should be composting. And, you know, so it gets them to change. It makes, it normalizes it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to pay dividends, you know, for society for generations to come.
Right. Because basically in a landfill, they just take out the trash and then they bury it and then they bury it and then it releases methane gas and all that. The juices, and then here you guys are really trying to make an eco-friendly solution to stuff, and it just takes a little effort on somebody else's part to make sure that things get where they need.
Yeah, exactly. Our relationship to trash is something I've thought a lot about, and we kind of had this, what I call the out of sight, out of mind mentality with our trash. You know, I got an email one day from a company that sells trash bags, and it was like, 7 ways that you can conceal your trash cans, you know, at the office. And the reason for that is like survival instinct. You know, there were times in our past we got too close to our waste and this caused, you know, mass disease and outbreaks and stuff like that. And so we were right to sort of separate ourselves from it. And in that process, you know, one of the consequences was developing the landfilling process, which is super cheap and efficient, you know, but it's like a rubber band with the consequences, and we're now releasing that rubber band and seeing those consequences come forward. My argument now is that we need to get a few steps closer to our waste, you know, get connected a little bit more to it and be okay with putting your compost in a compost bin. And, you know, kids, they see that, all their people that went before them, you know, piling on top of each other, all the food waste, and they go, they have this disgusting kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, like, great, good, get used to this. You know, you folks are creating this. This is your responsibility. You know, understand what this is. And do you feel disgusted? Yeah, I mean, it is disgusting how much waste we make. You want the neat and tidy solution, which is landfilling. It's not really working out for us. So get used to it. Yeah. You know, like kind of some tough love, you know. Oh, you don't like the inconvenience of having, you know, more than 2 bins to separate your stuff in? Too, you know, in order for it to be reused in a proper way. Like, I'm sorry, like, this is the future, you know, get used to it. This is what we need to do. If you're going to produce waste, you know, you need to be responsible for, you know, our municipalities, our school systems need to give us access to infrastructure. And then all of us need to take on individual responsibility to, you know, dispose of it the correct way or figure out ways to use less materials in the first place. You know, that's sort of the new normal. And we see that in other countries that don't have access to land and space for landfills like we do in America. You know, Europe countries, for example, can't build much more than they do now. And so they've resorted to very robust recycling programs and reuse programs because they're running out of options. Right now, we have too many options and our landfill tipping fees are so cheap. But one day that will change. And so we're sort of creating that path now. What does it look like that we're going to do when we have to figure out the alternative?
Right. And it looks like you have a whole bunch of people on board with you right now, but more on board would be better, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're at the beginning of this. I'm encouraged to see every day there's more organizations and people waking up the existential threat of our climate crisis. And they're saying, what can we do? We're not just going to wait for the federal government to tell us what to do. And so we see a lot of the business community, you know, the great thing about that is they can mobilize a lot faster, making decisions to say, yep, you know, we're hearing it from our customers, our employees that we need to make a change. You know, we can do that. And there's a growing wave and we've been riding that wave and it's been a fun adventure and exciting to see that happen. Is it happening fast enough? I don't know. Probably not, but we see progress every day and it's hopeful and encouraging for that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. And then just for everybody listening, some of the services, like you had already mentioned, but we'll just go through one more time, are like, you have different dumpster sizes, you have renewable roll-off dumpsters, you have trash landfill pickup, you have composting, you have school composting services, you have recycling, you have glass recycling, you have zero waste events, which I think are really awesome. You have drywall composting, bulk recycling services, and then you also have waste management consultation as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't throw out all the stuff to people and just drop off the dumpster and say, we'll see you next Tuesday to pick this up and expect it to go well. So as we found, you know, and so we have programs where, you know, for example, Baxter Subaru, a car dealership in Omaha, their management decided, hey, we want to be a zero waste. We want to be the first zero waste car dealership, Subaru, in America. They hired us to sort of implement that, the program that they wanted, and hold their hands. They feel like they had to reinvent the wheel. I'm like, well, what do we do? And how do we do this? And what's our next step? And how do we get employees involved? And, you know, held their hand through that process to get them there. And, you know, they started off with like 94 cubic yards of landfill trash every week, and we got them down to 8. So they reached their goal, and they got their national recognition amongst other Subaru locations. And, but that's kind of a, you know, an example of the type of stuff we can do with people. And we, you know, we work with mom and pop restaurants to Fortune 500 companies, and like you mentioned, schools and everything between. And some people just hire us just to pick up their trash and take it to landfill. We can do that too. That's fine. But this is the recycling and composting is, and the sustainability stuff is the real exciting work we get to do.
And anything else you want to add before I let you go today, Brent?
We've been thinking a lot about plastic lately. And this year is, we've reached a turning point. And, you know, basically a report came out in January. The scientists can now measure nanoplastics. You know, what are nanoplastics? Basically, we've known about microplastics for since the 60s, as plastics became commercialized. You know, manufacturers, scientists, they knew that, you know, microplastics were in our water, but the sort of idea was that it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. It's not that small enough, and so it just passes through your system. But, you know, it took a while for science to catch up, but now we can, we know that nanoplastics are smaller than microplastics, and we can measure how many are in our water bottle. So initially we thought 300 pieces of microplastics in a liter of water on average, and it's more now if you include the nanoplastics, it's more like 100,000 or more. And so the analogy that sort of makes it, I think, work is like, if you were to touch your, rub your skin right now, you would release skin cells. We all know that. Plastic's the same way. And thinking about plastic in that terms is new. Thinking about the thing with nanoplastics is that it does cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. So as far as I'm concerned, we're officially in new territory for how we think about plastics. And in the meantime, you know, since the 60s, we've decided to plasticize everything. And we've done that for convenience and cost effectiveness, but now we have to rethink that system. And are nanoplastics and our exposure, does it affect our health? Yes. That's one thing we've been kind of sharing and talking about more, is just getting people to think about how to limit their exposure to plastics. And the easiest thing you can do right now is just to stop drinking liquids out of plastic bottles. That's a big culprit of how we get them. The second one is warming up food in a, like a plastic container, for example, or takeout food in those styrofoam things, you know, especially the hot scalding food. But as a consumer, when you go to the store and you go to purchase things, you know, this is something to be aware of. If you're going to get a spatula, stay away from the plastic, get a wooden one, for example. Yeah, we just want to get that message out there.
I appreciate that. And especially, you know, within the waterways and stuff like that, with you guys recycling and composting the trash that might go to a landfill, it's just nice to see that where you're close to two major water sources, right? The Platte River and then the Missouri River, that you are helping mitigate a lot of trash that might be ending up in those waterways.
Thanks for giving us the platform, letting us share some information, and love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, no worries. Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you again, Brent, for everything that you brought to the table here for us to learn a little bit about. I think it's pretty important to understand all these different type of aspects that go into us as being consumers. Also, it's pretty cool, though, we do have a corn plastics producing plant in Blair so something a little closer to home. But everybody can play their part and definitely, you know, keep some of the waterways clean. And that composting is just really out of this world awesome, too. I think it's great to have a community compost. So I hope this inspires somebody out there in Nebraska to do something a little similar, a little bit further out from Omaha area. And again, if you like this episode, you found us, so like and subscribe. We also have our YouTube page, our X/Twitter page, Instagram, TikTok page as Nebraska on Tap, and then our Facebook page is Middle Republican NRD. You can also access us at www.nebraskaontap.com. That's all I have for us today, so thanks for stopping in and listening. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.